Hello and welcome to HCTV, the Aintree Grand National Meeting special. Today we're with our usual horse racing expert Ian. We're delighted to be welcome to Ronan, who last joined us for the Cheltenham special that we did. We thought we'd ask him back because between both of them, lads, we had a pretty successful Cheltenham festival, didn't we, with the horses that you predicted?
Yeah, we did. All right, Chris, how's it going, pal?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you? Ronan, welcome, mate. How's things?
Thanks very much, Chris. I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me. Yeah, things are all well. I had a good Cheltenham, so
Positive. Yeah, definitely. Well, hopefully that luck can carry on to the Grand National meeting over the next few days. What was both your highlights for Cheltenham? Ronan, what was your highlight of the festival, mate?
I think a horse that we were talking about last time, Bob Olinger, I think he turned out to be one of the stars. And yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing him make his reappearance. But yeah, I think that was a big one, along with maybe Honeysuckle, because I mentioned I like the mares. So yeah, it's good. Yeah, it was great to see her.
I think I'd agree with both of them. I thought Appreciate It on the first day won, not only as we hoped, but you know, it was just phenomenal. And obviously, I think you've got to mention Rachel Blackmore, and in particular the ride on Alaho, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. That performance by Alaho was something else, really. It finished several good horses. And funny enough, I bear that in mind. You know, there's a couple of horses who ran in that race running over this weekend. And a few of them tried to go with Alaho, you know, so it'd be interesting to see how they fare, because I reckon it going that pace for that long over Cheltenham will have broken a few horses there.
Yeah, definitely. And do you get, personally, do you get as excited? For me personally, I absolutely love Cheltenham and I really look forward to it. Do you get as excited for the national meeting as you do Cheltenham, or a little bit off, or what's your thoughts on it?
I think for me, Aintree's getting better every year. The quality and the standard of the racing. It used to be a bit of an ongoing joke with some of my mates, obviously, because I literally lived within walking distance of Aintree when I lived in Liverpool. And I was a Cheltenham boy through and through. I could quite easily miss Aintree and watch it on the TV, because it was more about the party than the horse racing. And don't get me wrong, I think it's still, you know, 70-30 in favour of the party. But the horse racing is starting to get a bit more prominence. And it's just, if you look through the next 3 days, the quality of the racing now has just got so good that it's up there to challenge any of the festivals. So I'm slowly starting to change my mind. But I think for now, Cheltenham's safe, number one for me. How about you, Ronan?
Oh, no, I fully agree. Cheltenham's just the biggest week of the year for me. But I thoroughly enjoy all the spring festivals, to be honest. So yeah, it's a great excuse to put the feet up and watch racing for another 3 days. And as you say, the quality's top class again. But it's just a pity there aren't so many Irish horses over, with its proximity between Cheltenham and the Punchestown Festival.
Close, isn't it? Yeah,
that would have been the only negative.
Good excuse for another podcast in 3 weeks' time, though, to do Punchestown.
Yeah, Punchestown special. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, and just touching on last week, Ian, I know this is the Aintree special that we're doing, but going on from last week's tips that you gave us, I mean, again, another fantastic week. The 8-1 double absolutely smashed in. I mean, it's all right getting one win, but two wins, and you called it, saying put them as a double. It wasn't a case of, oh, we've just doubled them up. You actually called putting them into the double that paid around 8-1. Unbelievable. And then the last horse that he picked for an each way just sneaked in courtesy of Skybet paying an extra place, I think it was, mate.
I hate Skybet as well, don't I?
But I
had sort of, before we did the podcast, I did explain that Skybet were doing seven places. So luckily for me, I placed mine with that. And no word of a lie, I watched the finish. Obviously, everyone was talking about the 150-1 winner. And I was trying to count the places back to see if we managed to sneak into seventh. And I genuinely thought it'd been done. So I turned the TV off. I actually went for a game of footy with me two little boys. And I got a text, I can't remember if it was off you or Dave, saying, nice one, he sneaks seventh. So yeah. I'd wrote it off. But the 8-1 double, mate, that was great last week. I was chuffed a bit with that because both of them won quite easy. And the one at Aidoc for the Skeltons won exactly how we described, the way it had run through the race and pick it up, you know, coming towards the last, and it cleared away. Can't believe that was 3-1, to be honest.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. I think he got smashed in the betting as well, didn't it?
Ellie May got smashed in the betting, yeah. It was funny, actually. I texted Ronan during the week asking his opinion on the Ellie May one, and it was 5-4. And we both said that was a cracking price, like, and that's
we were both gobbled up.
He's good. Well, is my sound on board for the Irish runners?
Brilliant. Well, hopefully it continues. I mean, on each week, there's a lot of listeners now, and I keep telling people, if you're not listening every single week, I think we're on episode 9 of the normal podcast with the football and the horse racing. We've had a Cheltenham special, and this is the Aintree special. Each week, with one way or another, we've had winners on it. So there's not been one blank week, so long may it continue. Yes. So moving on to our look at the Aintree Festival, the Grand National Festival. We'll have a little look at Thursday, Friday and Saturday. We've got three races on the Thursday. We'll look at two on the Friday and then two on the Saturday, obviously including the Grand National as well. So straight into it then, lads, with the Thursday, the 220 on Thursday. Ronan, do you want to start us off, mate?
Yeah, no problem. To be honest, I think this is a two-horse race between the top two in the betting. Mon Morale, I think that's the Nichols horse, and Adagio, who we've seen recently in the Triumph Hurdle at Cheltenham. I was going through the stats for the race. Both of these actually have, you can draw a line through their form with Nassalam, who Mon Morale was able to beat Nassalam by 7.5 lengths, and Adagio beat him by 2.5 lengths. So there's a bit of a line to be drawn there. You would naturally be drawn to Mon Morale because of that. But I was looking back through the stats of the race itself, and 10 of the last 15 winners of this race finished in the first three in the Triumph Hurdle. And only two winners of the race since 2002 actually skipped the festival. So this would actually sway me a bit towards Adagio. And at the prices, I think Adagio is actually a better price.
So currently 30. Well, I'm just having a look on Sky, but 13-8 with Mon Morale at even money.
Yeah, I think that would slightly sway me towards Adagio. But I know Mon Morale skipped Cheltenham with this race in mind, so it is a hard one to sum up, but I think I could be going for another forecast here. We've done a few of those last time, but
it's just which way round, isn't it?
Yeah. Whether you want to go reverse forecast or
reverse forecast, yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably personally put Adagio first at the minute, but we'll see what Ian thinks.
to be honest, I've been waiting for Mon Morale to run since watching it at Haydock when they beat Nassalam. I thought it was a phenomenal performance. He looked like he might get slightly outpaced at one point and then just picked up again and strode clear. And I thought that was really impressive. And I think Nichols could have a bit of a beast on his hands here. Really do. It's definitely a two-horse race. I can't see any of the others getting into this. The Adagio form is as solid as you like. And I think he actually improved again behind Quick's Loss.
I would fully agree that. Yeah, and he finished well ahead of Zanahir that day. So
yeah, and, you know, we were talking... We mentioned Adagio at Cheltenham as a decent price, but we couldn't get Zanahir or Tritonic really behind him. Could we, when we were talking last time? So he improved massively. I think, there was Hoogree as well for Nichols in the race before that. So I think Nichols should have a line of understanding form-wise I'm actually going to go for Mohamed Ali in this. Say it's a horse I've been excited to see. So if I was doing the forecast, I'd be doing Mohamed Ali first, Adagio second. My only worry is that Adagio is a lot more battle hardened than Mohamed Ali, and if it does turn into a scrap up the Ainsley straight, then all of a sudden you'd want to be on the pipe one.
Yeah, because they are juveniles, so I suppose maybe being a bit battle hardened might actually help it. But
yeah, I
fully agree with your sentiments. I've seen that race as well, and Monreal looks an absolute weapon. So it's a toss of the coin, but
tough one. Do you know what? I'm even getting up. I've got the racing post in front of me here. Even the racing post ratings for Haydock race for Monreal and the last Cheltenham race for Adagio were identical. Both offer a rating of 146. That actually gives me a little bit more hope that Monreal's got a bit more improvement in it, because Adagio peaked there. So I'm going to go Monreal, probably in a forecast the opposite way to you, mate, but Adagio second.
So that's a nice, easy one to start us off then, wasn't it?
it's tough. I mean, it's really difficult to split them two. Clearly, as we've gone for the opposites.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but, and there's both can see from both sides, really, Kai. So I think the sensible money would maybe going for the reverse forecast, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably, mate, but you're only going to get even money. Maximum, probably, for that, given the odds. It'd probably be odds on that, Ronan, wouldn't it? For the reverse forecast.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't really too confident in saying reverse forecast, because I don't really want to be tapping.
Don't do that, Chris. Stay with colours. Put your colours to the fence.
Right, okay.
Colours to the fence, and just pick away. Pick away, and away you go. Yeah.
Right, okay. Lovely, no probs. The next race that day is the 250 on Thursday, the Betway Bowl. Ian, do you want to start us off?
What a race this is. This is a proper sit back and enjoy. I'm gutted Dickie Johnson retired last week, actually, because it would have been great to see him riding Native River. Actually, it would have been great to see him riding Aintree full stop. I'm not entirely sure why he bowed out at a little meeting like he did.
Strange timing. Yeah,
he deserved a bit more of a fanfare, didn't he? And Ainsley would have been the perfect one for that. He would have been on Native River. We've got the Tiger. I know our friend Tommy would be gutted. I'm guessing. I'm going to guess neither of us are putting Tiger up for this race.
As much as any word, no.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think there'll be no more popular winner than Tiger Roll if he comes in and wins this. I think it's a strange decision from the owners to choose this race. But you've got Clanders Obo in there. You've got Aso in there as well. You've got Mr. Fisher coming out of that race with Alaho. You've got Real Steel for Nichols, who was previously with Mullins as well. You've got Clondor Castle, who's probably under the radar a little bit because he hasn't got the bigger profile of some of the others. There's going to be a ridiculous amount of pace on in this race. I mean, ridiculous. They're going to go hell for a 3 mile, 1 furlong race. There's so many people so many horses who like to force it in this. I couldn't even come down on who'd lead. Yeah, you'd think so, but then you've got Aso in it as well, who likes to go forward. And then you've got a couple of others there who like to force the pace. The ground's going to be too quick for Native River, I think.
Yeah, I think I'd rule him out. I thought he had too hard a race at Cheltenham.
He ran a crack in the Gold Cup. That wasn't expected. It's less than 3 weeks ago. So that's out. I'm really strong on waiting patiently in this race. I think finally, we've waited quite a while to get the optimum conditions, but I think the ground's going to be good to soft. I think 3 and a bit miles round 80 could be perfect. He proved he stays the distance in the King George. And I think the connections will be a bit gutted with the King George because I think they waited a little bit too long for it to make its run.
To
reel back in Frodon. And I just think Everton's right. It then dropped back to 2 miles in the Clarence House and came third. I think on this ground, the others are going to go quite quick up front. I think Brian Hughes, obviously, he wants to grab some winners this weekend as well. I think this could be a cracking bet of 4-1. You know, if it drifts, the money's going to come for Tiger surely tomorrow. As
I was about to say that. Do you think that it's worth hanging on? The emotional money will come for Tiger Hall, might give you a better price on the others.
I don't think it's got as sexy a profile as it, waiting patiently as some of the others. So I can honestly see Native River and Tiger Hall getting backed. Glander's Oboe is favourite again, and I don't know why.
I think Glander's Oboe will still go off favourite, to be honest.
Yeah, so do I. So you've got three horses there that potentially could be ahead of it in the betting.
I would just say the waiting patiently opened up at 11-2 yesterday, and it's under 4-1. So some people have caught on to.
I'm really sweet on waiting patiently in this, Chris. I think 4-1's a cracking price, and
yeah,
you know, if it drifts a little bit, there's 9 runners in it. If it gets to 5, you're banging each way on there as an each way bet or not. Ronan, well, I don't know where you've landed, mate.
I wish I could actually show you my notes here, but. So 4 of the last 6 winners won that season's King George, or at least been in the top 4 of that season's race. 12 of the last 22 winners have actually finished the top 4 in that season's King George. So the King George is like a really good indicator for this race. Kempton's quite a similar flat track day injury.
Yeah, so it is, yeah.
Horses that run there, this tends to suit. There's, as we've said already, there's been a 3-week gap, so it's a real negative for anyone that ran in the Gold Cup and had a hard race. It's different running the Gold Cup if you've like pulled up early or not really finished your race. But I would rule out Native River on the basis that he finished 4th. His age, it's not ideal, and I'm not sure injury is the best fit for him anyway. But yeah, Clandys Oboe actually finished behind Waiting Patiently and the King George, and Waiting Patiently is now over twice his price, so I just don't understand that at all. Yeah.
There wasn't no fluke to that either. There was no fluke to Waiting Patiently beating him in that race.
Yeah, exactly. And Waiting Patiently has since come out, and as we said, they're run over around 2 miles, which is a bit in the sharp side for him now, as he's getting on a wee bit. But I think that we've found his perfect distance, just around 3 miles on a flat track. I think that's perfect. And yeah, I'd fully agree with your sentiments. I'm all over Waiting Patiently.
Good lad. Yeah, that's giving me double confidence now. I'm going back in. I'm steaming back in.
So currently on the betting, just looking at Skybet, I've got it up. Clandys Oboe is 5-2. Waiting Patiently is 100-30 as we speak. Tiger Roll 5-1. Native River 11-2, but we kind of expect Tiger Roll, Native River, a little bit of emotional money coming in and Waiting Patiently. You might get a nice little price on that on the day or the day
before. I can't see it going off shorter than 3-1, given Glander's Oboe will probably stay favourite and the others in the race. There's been money for Clondor Castle I've seen here as well. That wouldn't surprise me, that run in a good race actually. That's ran well at Kempton the last couple of runs. But yeah, Waiting Patiently is the one.
Nice, fellas. Both in agreement. So I'll be all over that 100%. The last race we're going to look at on the Thursday is the 3:25, which is the Aintree Hurdle, which just looking now, again, it's worth having a look around. I know we always say, but it's worth having a little look around the bookies on the big meetings, because just on here, I know Skybet are paying 4 places instead of the 3. So it's worth having a little look around to see what odds you can get and what offers and things like that. So, yes, fellas.
Odds checker's really good for these big meetings, Chris. They price them up early and you get your spreadsheet with all the odds on there. So I'd advise anyone to go onto Odds Checker before they place a bet.
I was looking at Odds Checker. That's why I've got Skybet up. I was looking at Odds Checker before, and I couldn't find the Thursday and the Friday meetings on it anywhere. And I was probably struggling with that. That's why I've got Skybet up.
The other good site is At The Races. So At The Races have the odds checker spreadsheet almost at the top of every card. I use the At The Races site for a lot of my studying, actually. I think it's really good.
Right, brilliant, mate. Good. So the 325, which is the Aintree hurdle. Ronan, do you want to kick us off, mate?
Yeah, no problem. I think the odds will probably reflect that this is a mad open race. I'd say the favourite's only about 3-1, maybe 4-1. But
Yeah, 3-1, Jason, the militant, yeah.
I tell you what, that's been heavily back the last couple of days, that.
That shocks me. I thought Abracadabras would be the one that would be thumped on, to be honest.
Jason, because Rachel Blackmore's upon it.
It might be the Blackmore factor and the fact that skipped Cheltenham, and they might think it's coming there fresh, but I don't know. It's not for me. I wouldn't be backing Jason Malton at those odds, to be honest. So I had a look back through it. Irish trained runners actually have a really good record in this race, so that is a positive for Jason Malton. But the Champion Hurdle is actually a really key race in, going through the years in this. We've got the Champion Hurdle winner is obviously not here this year, but we've got a few horses that did run in that. Abracadabras fell early in that, but he was still able to run in that, and it actually comes here fresh enough after a fall early enough. I would sway towards Abracadabras, especially at the current odds, if he's actually a bigger price than Jason the Malton.
Yeah, currently 100-30.
Yeah. Abracadabras actually beat Jason the Malton earlier this season in the Morgiana, I think it was. And I can't see him actually overturning that result. As far as that would go, I would go Abracadabras all day long. At a bigger price, I would probably opt for Brewing Up a Storm. I really like that horse. It's won last twice. Nichols' horse in this will probably be backed quite heavily. McFabulous, I think it is. Brewing Up a Storm gave him a good beating last time, and I think at the current prices, I think it was around 61, maybe bigger.
Brewing Up a Storm.
I would definitely go with an each way bet with Brewing Up a Storm, and if I was going to go for any of the shorter prices, it would be Abracadabras.
Brewing Up a Storm's my selection. So obviously I looked at the top two. I was immediately drawn to Abracadabras, just partly so I could say it and set Chris up for one of his craft jokes. It's a horse I've got a lot of time for, a horse I've backed a lot, and I think it's a very brave horse, actually. You know, it's always going to give its running. The thing about the top two, the two that have come over from Ireland, I know Aintree's a slightly easier track than Cheltenham and some of the Irish tracks, so it might not be a factor. But they've both got it to prove over 2 mile 4. Neither of them have done that, including Abracadabras. And coming into it, the form might be a blessing for Abracadabras coming into this race. It's partly fresh, so it blew the cobwebs away. So I can see where you're coming from with that. I just think Brewing Up a Storm, he's rated identical to all the top ones in this anyway. He looked like he was going to go on to be a very special horse at one point early on in his career, and just didn't quite go through with it. I remember he run in the Ballymore, came fourth in the Ballymore, which was a good run. And I know Ollie Murphy thinks a lot of this horse. The stable's in cracking form as well. Actually, the Ollie Murphy stable's found a great bit of form coming into the spring. Just checking here, the last 2 weeks, he's on the 28% strike rate. So the stable's flying. The beating he gave to McFabulous, there is a turnaround in the weights for that. He beat it six lengths, and it beat it six lengths easy. There was more in the tank there. It was good to soft over the same distance. And I think he's got McFabulous beaten.
I would agree with that.
Abracadabras and Jason the Militants have got a little bit to prove over the distance. All of a sudden, then, you're into some of the higher price ones. Silver Streak is such a commendable horse, but he wants soft ground. I think what he's going to do is help set it up for someone who can just sit in behind, like Brewing Up a Storm. I think we can't close the race off without mentioning Boover there.
Massive just, price.
Yeah, what a horse and what a story. And we know the course and distance suits.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's fresh. He had his comeback run in January where he clearly needed after being over a year off. Actually, it was less than... Yeah, it was over a year off since he had that injury in the fighting fifth. He has never come out of the top three except for his bumper at Aintree. Now, he's the class horse in the race. I mean, he's a bit old now, but I'm going Brewing Up a Storm and a sentimental bet. It's 12-1, Boover Day. You can't let that go without having a cheeky each way, each way bet on it. Because
especially on that stat as well, stat attack.
Yeah, he's just class. He's a class horse. You know, dual champion hurdle winner. He's proven at Aintree over the distance. Brewing Up a Storm's my main bet. Little sneaky one on Boover there.
Lovely, mate. Brilliant. Good stuff. So that's Thursday completed as easy as that, really, with the three winners on Thursday. That'd be nice.
I think it's probably worth mentioning the whole card's good, but the bumper in particular looks great. We've got the Skelton one, Estelle Bell, which came third in the champion bumper, and the horse everyone's been waiting for, really, Eileen Dover. Chris, fill your boots with that one, mate. Eileen Dover, yeah.
I used to know a woman called Eileen Dover. she had one leg longer than the other.
Hey. I think to keep everyone interested right to the very end, that 5:15 bumper looks tremendous tomorrow. And it'd be great to see if Eileen Dover can live up to all the hype.
Definitely.
What's your plans, lads? With Charlie, you say you'll sit there in front of the telly all week. I know Ian, you had the week off work, and Ronan, you kind of sat there and watched on the telly all week. Will you be doing the same tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, or is it a case of you'll watch them if you can?
And I'm definitely watching.
I'll be in front of the TV. Yeah, definitely.
definitely watching. I think. I'm hoping Friday and Saturday to have a few beers. Can't do that tomorrow. I've got a few things on, but I'll be watching, and then Friday and Saturday, you know, Cheltenham-esque, a few Guinness out and Guinness and nice. Winners.
Guinness and winners.
Loving the dream.
On to Friday, starting with the 250 at Aintree, the Malmaid Novices Chase. Ronan, do you want to kick us off with this one, mate?
Yeah, no problem. So I've been kind of highlighting which races stand out form-wise so far. The one I was able to pick out here was the Kudo Star Novices. Again, one of the races over Christmas at Kempton. It lends itself quite well to this. So from that race, Chamblou and the Big Breakaway came first and second. They both run here. And they're actually quite nice prices. Out of the two of them, I actually think Chamblou jumped perfectly and was amazing that day. I don't think he actually could have done any better. The Big Breakaway jumped absolutely dreadfully that day.
He hit every fence that day, didn't he?
Yeah. And his engine was able to keep him in it. He went on to Cheltenham then and jumped excellent in Cheltenham behind Monkfish. I think he came third behind Monkfish. Yeah. The mixture of those would lead me to believe that the Big Breakaway will probably be able to finish ahead of Chamblou here, and I think he's actually a bigger price. So at an each way price, I would definitely start off with the Big Breakaway. But
currently 7-1 the Big Breakaway, Chamblou at 11-2.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd definitely have an each way bet on the big breakaway. But to be honest, I can't see either of them beating Chantry House, unfortunately. Chantry House won the Marsh at Cheltenham in the ill-fated Envoy Allen race, unfortunately. Unfortunately for my bets, anyway.
You and everyone else there, Roland.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very impressive that day. No one looked like beating him. I think if he runs to that level, he definitely is a beating of this field. I read a stat that no horse has ever won this. It hasn't won over 3 miles, and that had worried me. But then I looked back at Chandra House's form on the Racing Post, and he actually won a point-to-point with Jamie Codd on him over 3 miles. So that actually would give me even more confidence. So yeah, I would have a strong vote on Chandra House, but definitely an each way shout in the big breakaway.
Brilliant, mate.
Do you know what, mate? Great points there on, yeah, great points on Chantry House, especially the point to point. I hadn't spotted that, to be honest, and one of the reasons I had a big question mark over him was the step up and trip after its Cheltenham run. I was trying to find an angle on this again for something a little bit fresher, and just something a little bit different actually at the prices, because when I was looking at it, it was a proper good each way race. It's not now. I think we're down to one. Are we down to set? Oh no! Are we still on 8 runners there, Chris? In this race.
Let me see. Yeah, there's more.
Yeah. There's 8 runners. I think there's a couple I'm going to take against.
Yeah,
the field,
bang on 8. Yeah.
Couple against the field, I think. Looking at the big breakaways engine. It is bang on the money. Everything you said there, Roland, is absolutely spot on, I think. I backed him at Cheltenham when Kempton when he hit every fence. And how he stayed in the race is beyond me. He was only beaten 3 lengths in the end. And so I think he's got the beating of Sham Blue. If you like big breakaway, then you've got to look at Tizard's other runner, Fiddler on the Roof, who finished in front of big breakaway at Cheltenham. On the last one in the Brown Advisory, it finished well in front of Big Breakaway. Actually, it finished 11 lengths. I think Ainsley might suit your selection a little bit better than Fiddler on the Roof as it goes.
Do you not think Fiddler on the Roof was ridden that day to run into a place, whereas the Big Breakaway went out and he took on Monkfish, which might not have been the best plan?
Yeah, that. He was way off, wasn't he? He was way off the leaders, Fiddler on the Roof. I find it interesting.
I know he came second. It's just in my head that maybe he was just ridden the run in their place. He thought maybe they expected the race to break up a bit. It was a few horses taking on Monkfish. So that was my kind of angle. That's why I would actually still fancy the big breakaway over Fiddler on the Roof, to be honest.
The Tizards love entry. Always have targeted this. The form of the stable baffles me still, though. They just can't get a winner, can they? They haven't been able to get a winner all season. I'm actually drawing the line through both the Tirades and Sham Blue. I like Espoir de Rome for Kim Bailey and David Bash in this. I think he's very lightly raced. He's 2 out of 3 over fences. He's only had 3 runs over fences in his career. The only time he got beat was to Royal Pagai at Haydock, and we know Royal Pagai looks a beast. I don't think he should have went to the Gold Cup, to be honest. I think that was a big mistake for that horse. I think we mentioned that on the podcast. As far as I may give her a good run in him when he was beating the East, but that was on heavy ground. I think it'll be better over good ground. I think a 5-6-1. I actually like this for the win factor. Yeah, he's been kept and targeted for this race. So Espoir de Rome is going to be my main bet. At a much bigger price, I quite like Silver Hallmark for the Fergal O'Brien stable. Again, it's so lightly raced. It's only had 2 runs over fences. It was pitched into a grade one. I think it was a grade one more on paper than it was in reality, though, at Haydock last time. But it still beats a decent yardstick by 4.5 lengths. It beat a horse called Maron, which is rated at 144. They beat it quite easy. So I think there's improvements in that horse. But Espoada remains my main one. So I think that's 6-1 and a little touch silver hallmark of 14s.
Yes, currently 14s on Skybet, the first one, your main selection. Currently 5-1 on there. So, yeah, 5-1 and 14-1.
Very open
and
your race, main though.
Yeah, open. We've just had half the field, so.
I think there was only two that we didn't mention, Sport and John and Empire Steel. So, Chris, when you replay this, you can say, yeah, we got the winner of this horse in this race.
Yeah, just mentioned them all. Yeah, great. Right.
Shanty House has been back. That's into 6-4 now, Roman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was 2-1 when I seen it, so that's a lot of confidence for it then, yeah.
Got another easy race next as well.
Yeah, they're all nice, easy selections for you. If we don't get every one right, then there's something going wrong, really.
Yeah.
Which is the 3.25 on the Friday. The Betway Entry hurdle. Ian, do you want to?
Yeah, of course, mate. Yeah. Wow. What a tough race to fathom out this has been. You've got Dashiell Drasher, who's been a revelation this year, who's just going to go hell for leather and shout, catch me if you can. And I think they will. I think they will catch him. He loves Ascot. As probably one of the most improved horses over the last few months. But you've also got a few that like to race prominently in this as well. Mr. Tommy Tucker. I didn't realise Mr. Tommy Tucker was so old, actually. He still seems like a relatively new horse to the scene. I think he was injured early on, wasn't he, in his career, Ronan? And,
yeah.
You know, for a horse aged 10 to only ever have 12 races over fences is mad.
Yeah, he's very fresh.
Yeah, he's a cracking horse, Mr. Tommy Tucker. He also likes to bowl along in front. You'd argue he's the stable second string with Politolog in there and being the class angle in the race. You've also got Fakir Duderi, who I know is a favourite of Ronan. So I wouldn't be surprised if Fakir gets put up from our Irish friend after running so well at Cheltenham to come second to Alaho. Bit like we spoke before about Fiddler on the Roof, I thought he was very, very well ridden in that race as everyone went off to try and catch Alaho. Yeah, he hunted along, didn't he, and crept into the race. It was a great ride by Mark Walsh. I'm surprised that's gone favourite, actually, Fakir. Joint favourites with Politolog. Now, I'm going to go for one in this that's going to go completely under the radar, a horse called Nutswell. Which is currently 15-2. It's for a little stable from Anne Hamilton stable. It's got a jockey on, Danny McMenamin, that not many people will know. This will not be a very popular choice given all the other horses in there. We're going to get some proper value. He's already proven over course and distance. He won the Old Ronia in October. He goes really, really well fresh. I look back on all of his runs fresh. All of his stats completely add up with any of the main protagonists in this. And, you know, he's a Politolog aside, who's £6 clear, I think, on ratings. I think this horse is a crack and each way better, 15-2. And I'm not going to say much more than that. Get on Nutswell. because I think it's going to completely outrun and it'll be a turn up for the books as it beats all the big stables and Anne Hamilton will be bouncing around Aintree just loving life. Ronan,
nice, wasn't it?
Ronan, you're going to tell me I'm completely wrong and Fakir Duderi is going to win this.
He'll say you are nuts.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like he's storming up out there and knew exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, we all know I'm crazy about Fakir. I think it's only 6 years old. Running against some really seasoned pros here. I looked at the stats again. So out of the past 18 winners, all of them contested either the Champion Chase or the Ryanair at the fest at that season's festival. Only two of the last 29 runs of the race, only two winners from the last 29 skipped the festival altogether. So you're really wanting someone that was at the festival here, and preferably either ran in the Champion Chase or the Ryanair. And seven of the last eight winners were their first season out of novice company. And Fakir just meets all of those stats perfectly. He ran
a cracker. Have you not got the stats old thing coming across here, Chris? You're missing a trick, the amount of stuff he's coming out with.
Hang on. I will. We're all
he ran a cracker, as we've already said, behind Alaho. He's run a few crackers this season. He beat Sam Crow in a, I think, over the same distance at Ferry House in a Grade One last season. I think Fakir, you can get him around the 3-1 mark. I think that's an absolutely cracking bet. I'm all over Fakir.
I knew you would be, and I didn't want us to pick the same horse again, so I had to look for a different angle.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It would be a lovely 1-2 if your guy can finish second.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, yeah, that would be a good forecast. I think, do you know what, it's mine's one of them where I was trying not to be obvious. There's four or five there that'll all get very well backed. This is a great each way bet, and I think yours is a crack and win bet.
Yeah, I fully agree. Like, I'm not a fan of just going for the favourite every time, but just every stat that I looked at, Fakir seemed to meet them, and I'm a massive fan of the horse anyway. So yeah, I just think I'm all over him with the current prices.
Is that your, would you say that's Ronan, your probably your main selection over the 3 days?
Yeah, it probably would be, to be honest. Probably would be my nap. Yep.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Okay, so that finishes off our races that we've chose for the Friday. Moving on to the big Saturday, really. We're going to start with the 3:35 on Saturday. Ian?
It's a rerun of the Stayers Hurdle at Cheltenham, and there's quite a few here reopposing. It'd be interesting to see if the Irish come over. They've got Beacon Edge, who I actually really fancied to run at Fairy House. I think it was Sunday or Monday. There was a 2-mile-4 race. I think it needs to drop back in trip, that horse to 2-mile-4. And then it's because I think it's a cracking horse, and I think 3 miles just stretches it. It's got Paisley Park, Side of Burleigh, Lisnagar Oscar. It's got quite a few actually running the Stayers Hurdle in this. Out of all of them, I don't see why any of them turn the tables on Side of Burleigh. Roland picked that out in the Stayers Hurdle as a selection at Cheltenham. It ran a Belton race, actually. It's just Flora and Porter run out to do what he does and didn't get caught. I don't think any of us give Flora and Porter the credit he fully deserved for its previous runs. To be honest, we overlooked him a little bit. And I also think, though, they give him a bit of an early lead. They give him a bit of a gimme in that one. Side of Burleigh was the one who came from the pack in a race that possibly wasn't run to suit. So I think Side of Burleigh is the big danger in here. The most interesting one is Time Hill, who didn't get to Chester. Chester didn't get to Cheltenham. Didn't get to Chester either. didn't get to Cheltenham, was favourite. I absolutely love the horse. I think it's got the beating of most things in here. I think the good ground will really suit it. I think Aintree will really suit it. Another one I'm gutted that Dickie's not here to bow out on, because it could have been the horse. This could have been the horse that Dickie retired on. And this was the one I was talking about earlier when I was saying I was gutted he wasn't coming to the meeting. I think Time Hill and Side of Burleigh are probably the two best horses in the race, and I'm just going to side with Time Hill.
I'm just having a little look now at this. What would be the reason, unless it's changed from what I'm looking at, what would be the reason where a few of them have already got the declared jockey on them, but quite a few of them in this race it still says unknown jockey?
So the final declarations don't come through at Aintree till, I think it's 48 hours at Aintree, isn't it, Roland?
Okay.
Yeah, 48 hours. So there'll be horses that so at the case in point there will be Beacon Edge. Still don't know whether Beacon Edge is going to come over for this race. They don't have to say whether they are coming over until 48 hours before the race. Some horses, so some horses like...
So it'll be this time tomorrow, you'll know.
Yeah. So Roxana there's got Harry Skentle already jocked up, which tells me that they've already made that decision. And they've declared the jockey as well as the horse to go on it. But final decks may cancel 48 hours.
Right, okay, no problem. So it could throw the betting wide open then, couldn't it?
It does. That's why it's difficult to, in sort of any podcast in advance, you've got to sort of take a flyer first of all on who's going to run.
Yeah.
And it's before you even get to the winner.
Well, it's even better than if we managed to get a winner then, isn't it, without knowing that it's definitely running or the jockey and things like that. Yeah. Makes it even better. So,
crystal ball. Chris, you don't realise what we go through here. It's proper crystal ball stuff.
No, mate, I know. It's good. Ronan, what's your thoughts on that race, mate?
To be honest, I'll keep it simple. Copy and paste what Ian said. I'm a big Time Hill fan. Like, I love Sarah de Burley. It was one of the ones that I had said to put up as an each way shout, and the stairs hurdle managed to come second in the end up. Was, as we said, wasn't able to peg back Florin Porter, but we don't have a Florin Porter here today. Time Hill would have went off favourite alongside Paisley Park in the stairs had he not been injured, and it was only a small injury that ruled him out. I don't think it was anything major. He should come here in full fitness. I don't think they would be running him if he wasn't in full fitness. Paisley Park is a bit old. Don't think he'll enjoy running this quickly after Cheltenham. I would agree. I would have Sarah de Burley ahead of any of the horses that ran in the stairs hurdle, but for me, the fresh horse who's coming here, who's the class act, in my opinion, Time Hill, I think, will take all the beating.
Thank you. You mentioned Fakir being the nap. Wouldn't put anyone off that as the main bet on Saturday. You know, everyone throws the money on the Grand National. Quite often, the earlier races on the card are overlooked. You're not going to bet on Shishkin in an earlier race. There's a horse called My Drogo. For the Skeletons running earlier on in the 225, which I wanted to mention, which I think is an absolute animal of a horse. My Drogo is possibly one for earlier on in the card. But that Time Hill, mate, is absolutely top class. I think people won't go far wrong back in that Saturday.
I wouldn't put anyone off a double with My Drogo and Time Hill, to be honest. That could be your money made for the day and then just play about in the National.
Yeah, do you know what? Let's go for that. I'm having that as well. My Drogo's a big horse of mine for the future.
I think he's unbelievable.
He's going to stick it over fences. We put it up on the podcast last time it run, Chris. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And another ridiculous price. It went off at 2-1. I think we got it at about 3-1 last time it run. It won by 9.5 lengths and didn't come off the bridle.
He's going to be a beast of a horse.
He's going to be a chaser. Interesting that Bally Adams declared in that race. That'll be very interesting to see. That'll give a proper form stick to see how good My Drogo is. I don't think
Brave Man's Game is that race?
2:25 on Saturday. I don't think Brave Man's Game will run in it. I think Brave Man's Game will run Friday.
Again,
Brave Man's Game in the 3 mile, mate.
I think he's made for 3 miles. Yeah, I would
he
agree.
Does. He needs to step up in distance again. That'll probably be one another banker to throw your money at.
Yeah, because Bob Olinger caught him for a toe big time in the Ballymore. But I think next year, as a 3 mile chaser, it could be an RSA winner.
Without a doubt. Sorry, Chris. Yeah. We're talking about races that aren't even on your list here.
I know, I was going to say, I should have picked some other races. We could have been off to a flyer. You give us 3 horses there that aren't even on my list, so we should have chose them races, really. But
you want to talk about the main races, don't you? And
definitely.
These are the right races to talk about, but you know, going under the radar, My Drogo, Brave Man's Game, they're the ones that you need to be looking at.
And the fact that we're in agreement, I think that's speaks volumes.
Yeah.
What? When's that Brave Man's Game?
Just for your own personal stuff, Chris.
It's looking like Friday.
Friday, yeah. Back.
Hang on, I'm just getting it up for you now, mate. Just for the purposes of the podcast, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, 4:40 of Friday. It's the 3-mile novice hurdle. Currently 2-1. There's nothing near it ratings wise. It's rated 10 clear of the second in the betting, and it's got more improvement to come.
Yeah, definitely. I think 3 miles will show its best effect.
There you go, Chris. 4:40 Friday, Brave Man's Game.
Nice, man. Nice. I might throw it in there as a treble with my draw going time out.
At the moment,
nice, yeah, that's it, mate. That's it. And then, fellas, moving on to the big race, the Grand National itself. What's your plans normally? Do you treat it like any other race? Do you just have one bet on it, or do you cover it with two or three, or what do you do?
You can't treat it like any other race, really. I probably have a couple. One fancy, one silly one. That's what I've gone for on these selections anyway. It's just fun, isn't it? The Grand National. It's real good fun. Good to watch. The kids get involved in it. Everyone loves to have a go for sweep. You know, your nans or your aunties or whatever else are all having a go. It's an institution, and getting the family, whether it's on the telly or at the course, to have a few beers and watch the National. You never know what's going on. Everyone's shouting at each other to shut up so they can like spot. Your kids are running up touching the screen. Is that mine, Dad? It's just for 10, 15 minutes. It's absolute chaos.
And just on that of running sweets and steaks and kitties and all that kind of thing, you run a thing where you can have a bit of a kitty with it, don't you, Ian?
Beckitty.co.uk. It's a cracking website where you can go on, have a little bit of fun with your mates. So you're playing against your mates, not the bookies. So you can set up a kitty where you can choose horses in different races throughout the course of the day, and you get points for it, and it, you know, sorts out the league table. But there's also a sweepstake function on there, which I think is going to be brilliant for the Grand National, where you set it up, you choose how much you want each person to pay in. You know, it could be £1, it could be £10, it's entirely up to you. And you just send it out via WhatsApp, then a link, and it randomly allocates everyone who joins a horse and sorts out the winners for you. You can have it to win, you can have first, second, or third. It's good. We're improving it all the time. I've just been going through some more improvements today on it, actually. So, Ronan, I know you've had a little go on it. It's good fun.
Yeah, it's a great site, and it's really easy to navigate. And even if you want to set up your own kitties, it's easy done. So yeah, I would fully endorse that.
Right, on to the big one, Chris.
That's very good of you, Ronan. Thanks. okay, so onto the main race. Who wants to go first with their main selection? Then, Ronan, do you want to go, mate?
I don't want to be stealing any thunder. I hope I'm not. So how many do you think we should go for each
year? I've picked two.
Okay, two. I think actually my main one is still a nice price. Milan Native. I'll let you check just what the current price is. Hopefully I'm not stealing.
Milan Native. Currently you can get 33-1 with William Hill.
That's a ballsy shout.
I think that's a really good each way shout, because you're going to be getting maybe 7 or 8 places with the likes of Skybet again here. Paddy Power probably similar.
Well, so, on that note of places and things, when I looked before, I thought whether it changes on the day and they do a little bit of an offer or something, I don't know, but I was just having a little look. Skybet are currently 6 places, Bet365 5 places, 888 Sport are being a bit stingy with just 4 places, Paddy Power 6 places, but do have a look, because same as anything where your extra place, 6 places is a fifth of the odds, whereas 4 places a quarter of the odds.
Your average punter, Grand National. Just wait till the day, because there'll be loads of offers out there to entice you in, especially because the shops aren't open as well.
So as well.
Yeah, yeah, agree.
Definitely. Sorry, Ronan. So Milan native, yeah, currently best price 33-1 with William Hill.
Excellent. That's that's music to my ears. I'd be very happy about that. Definitely each way. So yeah, it's his first start in the race, which has worked out very well. 10 of the last 12 winners. It was their first start in the race. He's aged 8. That's a really good age profile. 19 of the last 24 winners were aged between 8 and 10.
You swallowed the stats dictionary. Just get it up again, mate. Get the stats up.
Yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it.
Stat attack.
I'm on it. I'm gone. Yeah, stat attack. Stats up.
And my last stat of the day, 12 of the last 15 have won a race over 3 mile one. Milan native actually won the Kim Muir a few years ago. So it's been there, it's done that, it's won over the correct distances, it's the correct age profile. Yeah, I think it's a cracking horse. Its form's not been fantastic. It's not really let the world up this season, but I think they've had this race in mind all season.
It's been backed, you know, Roland. It was 50-1 last week.
Yeah.
Just looking at the odds, second now, 50s into 33s, went into 25s. It's just steadied again.
Yeah, I would happily back it now before it gets cut much shorter. I think on the day that'll be going off at like between maybe 10 and 20-1. Not as close as 10, but maybe around 20-1 mark. So if you're getting 33s, I'd be all over that each way. But yeah, I think it's had one race in mind all season, and it's this. The National isn't what it used to be. They've made it a lot easier. They've made the course a lot easier because they don't like how many horses were getting fatal injuries there. The fences aren't as brutal as they used to be.
You should get round jumping it then, Ronan.
I can't believe
you just called the National. Get round jumping it.
Yeah. Call the National easy there.
Yeah. But yeah. It's so definitely more winnable.
Run and jump them fences, I think.
Traditional satellite delays kicking in again.
I know, I've just seen it, mate. It's terrible. Sorry about that.
but yeah, actually, on that, I'll give you my next tip because I was bringing myself to that, but it actually goes on nicely from there, the fact that I actually do think it's got a bit easier. The reason I would say this also is because of the horse's jumping style. So Tiger Roll has become an expert here because he's an economical jumper. He jumps very low and jumps through the top of the hedge. You wouldn't have been able to do that in the past National fences. I think they changed it in 2013. That was the year that they changed from the really rock hard fences to the fences that you can actually brush through now. And that's why Tiger Roll was so successful. I don't think he would have been able to win a National post pre 2013 because you had to be a really careful jumper and you had to really watch what you were doing and try and take a late run. Whereas now you can afford to jump quite low, not be the best jumper, but you just want to be the most economical jumper and save your best for the end of the race. The cross country race at Cheltenham actually is quite similar to that, and they've got quite similar obstacles. So my second bet, I think he's probably around 40-1 mark as well. Some neck. I think he finished in the top four in the cross country.
The cross country finished third.
Yeah,
he finished third.
He also has won over 3 mile one because he competed in that cross country, was placed in it. He also won a cross country at Cheltenham earlier on in the season, and he won that quite impressively that day. I think he finished ahead. Was that the day he finished ahead of Easy's Land? But yeah, you're running that course is nearly 4 miles. This is 4 mile 2. The obstacles are quite similar. I think you'll get a cracking run for your money on Some Neck.
I agree with Some Neck. The Milan native one, that's ballsy given its current form. The Some Neck one, it took me a while to rule them out, partly because I backed them at Cheltenham and thought he gave us a great run for our money. He wasn't getting their Tiger. But to beat Easy, to come next to Easy's Land the way he did, thought was a great run. He's been a little bit backed as well. He's been back from 40s into 33s.
You can still get 40-1 at Bet365.
He strikes me as the type of horse that you're gonna, he's definitely gonna finish the race. You know, there's no doubt about that. And he's probably gonna sneak into like your six places, isn't he? He's a good guarantee to get in there. So what the odds?
Even
there,
if he can do that, you're getting 5-1 for a place like that. At the very least.
I think we probably need to give a nod to the favourite in this, just because it's a ridiculous price for a Grand National. It's almost 3-1, and it's continuing to get backed. Now, granted, I mean, it's the best handicapped horse in training right now. It's was a £14 well in.
At Kelso, I think.
Yeah. In any other race, this is probably going off odds on in a race over 4 miles. Because he's a proper stayer, he jumps well. But it isn't any other race, is it? It's the Grand National with 40 horses.
Shorter than what Tiger Roll would have went off. I
was going to bring that up. Tiger Roll came in at 9-2 last year.
Yeah,
he'd already been there and proven it. In that same year, he'd won the Grand National the year before. He then went on to Cheltenham to win his second cross country, and he was coming back here to win his second Grand National, whatever it was. And it's one of them where you just think, how can this go off shorter than Tiger Hall when it's got so many boxes still to prove? It could make fools of us all, because as I say, it's £14 well in. So if he gets a clear run round, you know, it's the obvious pick. There's no way I'm picking it, though.
For sure, you can't rule it out. Like, if it goes and wins, fair play. I'll take that one on the chin, because it is the most obvious winner.
You're not picking a 3-1 shot in the Grand National. Yeah. Imagine if we came
backing it at that. No, but 4-1. No, I couldn't back Tiger Roll last year at 9-2. Not a chance.
You still cheered at home a bit, though, didn't you? So I'm not backing it. I think Chris would have hung up and stopped the podcast if we picked Cloth Cap as a tip for this. One I've been backing for last year's Grand National, and I've got no reason to change, is Burrow Saint for Willie Mullins. When the Irish Grand National 2 years ago, last year was cancelled, he was fully targeted for the Ancient Grand National last year. Obviously, it didn't go ahead. He had a cracking prep race in February behind Acapella Bourgeois, who, by the way, is a big price for this as well, Acapella Bourgeois. But I watched the race back prior to coming on here when I was doing a bit of homework, and Townend proper looked after Burrow Saint in that race. At no point does he go after Burrow Saint. You could see what the end game was. I've backed Burrow Saint at 10-1. I think it's going to be a miracle to keep that out of the top four, never mind top six. I think he's tailored for the race. The way he jumped the last in the Irish Grand National and then went away, it looked like he just joined the race halfway round. It was an absolutely stellar performance in that. So for me...
The other one you just mentioned, I just had a quick look then, Ian. That was best price 66-1 at William Hill.
That's a ridiculous price for Acapella Bourgeois, since it finished four and a half lengths in front of Burrow Saint last time. But the way Burrow Saint came through the Irish Grand National when it won it 2 years ago, I think it's tailor-made for this trip. So he's my main selection. I was then struggling to get my usual outside one.
Sorry to interrupt here. My mistake, I was giving you the price of a different horse. Acapella Bourgeois is currently best price 33-1. Sorry about that.
That was like news just in. News just in.
You'd be happy with 66s, wouldn't you?
JP McManus is proper going for it in this year's Grand National. I think he's got six or seven runners. And the one I've landed on for him is, I think, the outsider of all of us. It's a horse called Canelo for Alan King. I was really interested, Ronan. about your comments before about economical jumping, and now that's come to the fore. Watching back Canelo's races, he is such a good economical jumper. You know, he's very low to his fences. He's never fell in his career. His form line stack up. I've read people don't think it needs the strip. I actually think it does, because as I watch it races, every race it's in, 2-3 fences from home, it looks like the winner every time.
Mm-hmm.
Over shorter, there's a couple of horses that have just been outpacing it. I think this is going to get a lovely toe into the race. I think it's going to love the fences. It's won at Aintree before, albeit not over the Grand National fences, but I like horses that have been to Aintree. And it won by 5 lengths over 2.5 miles. So it knows its way around here. It's currently 50-1. Alan King's horses have been running well all season. And I think this is a silly price. Canelo, 50-1.
Yeah, well, it must have just been nibbled in, because it's 40, Paddy Power, William Hill. But in other places, it must have been, must be coming in, because it's 25 at some places.
But you can still get 40s. I'm on Race and Post.
Paddy Power, William Hill, yeah, quite a few places.
On Race and Post on the computer here, it still says 50 on William Hill's on mine.
Oh, does it? Get on it quick. Bump on.
But I can see that running a belt and race, getting a lovely toe into it. And it's all you want, isn't it? You want to run for your money.
Exactly, yeah. As long as you can have a shout at the telly and stuff and enjoy it, and you might get a place or something, or even better, a winner. That is all you want, really, for the National, isn't it? Because it's, you may as well just put a finger in something and hope for the best, aren't you, a lot of the time on it?
Exactly, mate, yeah. Yeah. Fair dues, and that's us.
Brilliant, fellas. So some great selections there. Good thoughts behind each one of them as well. We've got the added bonus of a couple of other races in there as well, and your naps for the 3 days. So once again, I thank you for your time, Ronan, Ian. Been a pleasure again. We might even do another one. See how we get on for this one. Might have a little look at Punchestown. By the time
that comes around, Chris, we might be able to get in the pub and do it, might we?
Oh, fingers crossed, mate. Fingers crossed. That would be good. Hey, imagine. We never know. We could little trip over to Ireland if they get out of lockdown. We could have a Jolly Boys out into Ireland, couldn't we, for it?
just for the podcast.
Yeah, I'm not paying, though.
No surprise, Chris. Something you've ever bought me in
that. Brilliant. Cheers, fellas. We'll have a fantastic few days watching it, and we'll discuss how we get on next week. Hopefully some plenty winners for us all. Have a great few days. Have a great weekend. Lads, Ronan, thanks very much for joining us. Ian, thanks very much as usual, mate. And we shall speak to you soon.
Cheers, lads.
Take care, fellas. See you soon.
Have a good one.